This is the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, in for Brian Mackey, who is out this week. Often, when we talk about chemicals in drinking water, we think of Flint, Michigan, and lead, of course, in the water. But across Illinois, there are other threats to our health in the drinking water. They're called forever chemicals because they can take hundreds, even thousands of years to break down. One source of them has been found in many of our kitchens for decades.
Even burned food won't stick to Teflon, so it's always easy to clean. Cookware never needs scouring. If it has DuPont, Teflon.
We all remember those commercials. Those chemicals known as PFAS have been linked to health problems, including kidney issues, high blood pressure, even high cholesterol. Illinois just started testing for these chemicals, and more than 100 community drinking water sources across the state have dangerous levels of them. Brett Chase reports on the environment and planning and public health for the Chicago Sun-Times. He's been following these findings on forever chemicals. Brett, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we'd love for you to join in this conversation. Give us a call at 800-222-9455. If you live in a community like Rockford or Moline or Galesburg or elsewhere where these chemicals have been found, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to learn what you're doing. Or if you have a question for our guest, give us a call, 800-222-9455. So, Brett, first, right off the top, what are forever chemicals?
It's a class of chemicals. There's quite a number of them. Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances, and as you said, PFAS for short, they are ubiquitous and have been for decades. Things like nonstick pans, stain-resistant clothing, firefighting foam, which is kind of interesting. In fact, a little bit of news in the last few days, the governor signed a bill that phases out PFAS firefighting foam. This will happen over the next 5 or 6 years, but this was one source, of the contamination. But there's so much of this chemical out there, and it's been around for so long that it's estimated that the government estimates that we all have a little bit of this in our bodies. And as you say, they don't break down. That's why they have the nickname forever chemicals. They're going to stay in the water. They're going to stay in your, body forever.
Now, I talked about this just a little in the intro, but it mentioned, some of the health concerns that it can cause. Can you elaborate a little bit more on just the harm that these chemicals can cause our bodies?
We're still finding that out. I mean, there's still constant studying, but I think you hit some of them. I mean, there's a couple types of cancer that have shown up in human studies, testicular, kidney, high blood pressure, high cholesterol levels. They're believed to inhibit vaccine responses in children. They can lead to low infant birth weights. In animal testing, there's been evidence of birth defects and developmental issues. So this is definitely something we want to get a better handle on. And as you said, we're in a very early stage here in Illinois. I, as an environmental reporter, was aware of the national debate over PFAS, for the last few years. And I would look at what limited information there was, nationally on this. And you see, like, the state of Michigan, wow, what a hot spot. They're just, they had tons of, I think well over 150, contamination sites. And I'd compare that to a map of Illinois that was done by a national group, which showed very, practically nothing. But that was because we just didn't test. And so a little more than a year ago, or almost a year ago, I should say, the Illinois EPA decided that they were going to test. And they found, pretty widespread, let me put it in perspective, more than 1,000 water systems, drinking water systems, are being tested. And so far, more than 100, I think it's around 120 to date, have shown some traces. So now some of these are, just the small detectable amounts.
Now, do you know what sort of made Illinois, look into this? What was What was the event? What well, tipped everyone off?
It wasn't one event, and it wasn't directed by you know the legislature, which is you know sometimes what you see. To be honest, the federal government is struggling with this. I mean, they've been looking at this for years, and there's been, you know, congressional hearings. There's the EPA is studying this, US EPA. But it has been in the national conversation for quite some time. And there's been lawsuits, as I mentioned in my story. In fact, some municipalities are actually involved in lawsuits against the longtime manufacturers of products with these chemicals. So 3M, you know, a household name, DuPont, you mentioned the Teflon pans, but, you know, companies that have been involved, you know, and maybe with the chemical that goes into the firefighting foam. Mm-hmm. So it's something that's been out there. There's certainly been a lot of local environmental groups that have been sounding alarm on this. In fact, there was a proposal by the largest environmental coalition in the state a couple of years ago, and Association of Fire Chiefs said, "Wait a minute, we want to phase this stuff out on the firefighting foam because it is really highly effective on like liquid chemical fires." Mm-hmm. And but you know for decades firefighters didn't know, and those things don't, you know, they don't break these things out every week, obviously, but sure. You know, they do have drills, and not just municipal fire departments, but like if you live near an oil refinery or a large airport, I mean, this stuff has been on hand there. And anyway, the fire chiefs had said, look, we need some time to figure out what's the replacement for this, because it is highly effective against these chemical fires.
Like the Rockton, Illinois fire just recently.
That wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah, they were, the Illinois EPA and the US EPA had conferred with the fire department of Lubrizol, the company that owns that plant, and said, please don't try to extinguish that fire with PFAS foam because you're so close to the Rock River, and which is not a source of drinking water, but you know a lot of people fish and mm-hmm. they recreate, and it flows all the way down to the Mississippi River. So
can you tell us what communities
and some of the foam got sprayed over the fire?
Can you tell us what communities right now are affected?
Well, I mean, okay, so I would say the vast majority of these are really trace amounts, you know. So we were seeing some in the Chicago suburbs, but let me try to put this into context. So these things are measured; these chemicals are measured in like tiny amounts, like parts per trillion, right? You know, so the state is asking everybody that shows 2 parts per trillion. Any water system to like report that and say, okay, let's keep an eye on it. Let's, keep testing. We're going to try to figure out what the source of it is. We're actually working on state rules. So it's unlikely. I think it's unlikely that, there's going to be a, serious action done on anything that's measuring 2 parts per trillion. But Michigan, as I mentioned, found, kind of widespread contamination. So they said 8 parts per trillion. Which is, seems still kind of low, right? Mm-hmm. The US EPA is way up there, like 70 parts per trillion. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I found one case of a mobile home park in Rockford where it measured 150 parts per trillion. So now we're getting really high, and immediate action was taken there. People were given, bottled water. They're still in bottled water. They were on a private system. They're being converted to the Rockford Municipal Water System. So that was one of the highest ones I saw. There was another one in the Rockford area that was shown to be high in a well. And my understanding is that well hadn't been used for a while. It was kind of a backup. I am seeing, when we get in these communities that depend on well water, and especially if it's shallow well, there may be some concern there, especially if there's, any sort of you know, manufacturing or other potential contamination in the area. And this is the thing I kept asking. It's like, well, you know, I interviewed at least a half a dozen, you know, water plant chiefs, and each one said like they have no idea. They just don't know what contaminated. Because I mean, we saw trace amounts in some North Shore Chicago suburban water systems that draw from Lake Michigan. It doesn't make sense. Like the city of Chicago didn't show any traces, at least this go around. There was a test about a decade ago where they did show a small amount, and they now blame it on less sophisticated testing.
So when you're looking at this issue, you know, who should be held accountable for removing the chemicals, and where are we with that?
So, you know, going back to my discussions with the municipal folks, you know, they don't think the taxpayers should have to pay for this. So that's why you're seeing these lawsuits around the state and also around the country. And it's a coordinated effort by some, you know, a number of, you know, big law firms that specialize in these sort of things. They're going after the, you know, the companies, the chemical makers. So, you know, in terms of what I think, I don't think the taxpayers should have to pay. You know, I mean, I don't think the water customers should have to pay. That's to be decided. You know, we'll see what happens with these big lawsuits all over the country.
All right, Brett, thank you so much for joining us. Brett Chase reports on the environment for the Chicago Sun-Times. We're going to tweet out a link to his report on forever chemicals found in Illinois drinking water. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thanks again for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, and that is all the time we've got for today. Before we go, though, I'd like to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We've been hearing interesting things from listeners, and it's informing our coverage. Join us by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. You can stay up to date with us on Twitter. Just follow us at The 21st Show. We tweet out links with more analysis and background to what we've been talking about, and you can also look for us on our Facebook page. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Scholark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Tanisha Spain.